know, you can always tell when I'm getting in trouble. You know how you can tell?
When my mouth is moving.
Anyways, God is good. And we can have a good time together, can't we? In the Lord.
We're family. And we are to honor and we are to respect one another. And we are each an individual carrier of God's glory in Christ. We're all, each one of us individually, are carriers of God's glory. Now, it all looks different because God manifests in different ways to different people, right? According to His choice. However, how important it is, and this is what God keeps, I'm going to be on this for a while until He moves me elsewhere. How important it is that each one of us are making sure that we are seeding our individual clouds. Amen? Because it's the seed that in the cloud that creates the rain. And the rain brings refreshing. Rain brings life. Amen? Without water, everything dries up and dies. So we're talking about a spiritual principle here of individually worshiping. Private worship. Not just waiting to go to a building and worship with other people, but every day your life should be worship unto God. In fact, our worship is really hypocritical if we just wait until we get to church to worship God. Because if we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. It is a daily experience in Christ. So we worship privately. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet, remember, and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And then He said, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. There will be the manifestation of His grace and His glory in your life as you are a private and a personal worshiper. But how glorious it is when we come together corporately and we are all, amen, impregnated with the glory of God, the life of Jesus, and then we worship together. It's just a greater release of God's, amen, corporate glory. The cloud of His glory. You can see the pattern throughout Scripture. There's a connection to singing and worshiping and giving and praising and sacrificing. Amen? God is in the sacrifice, folks, as well. Yes, we know obedience, but obedience is also a sacrifice. Because sometimes obedience is not that easy, is it? Obedience means I have to deny myself to do what's right. And in that sacrifice, God is pleased, though. The Father's pleased when we obey Him. And you know, when God's smiling on your life, you know it. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen? Anybody got God smiling in your life? Because you're a worshiper. If we're going to see the glory of God, we must be worshipers. If we want our lives changed, we must be worshipers. If we want our families saved, we must be worshipers. If we want our city reached for Christ, we must be worshipers. Amen. Our worship to God is the key to victory over our enemy. You want the enemy out of your life, out of your family, out of your finances? Worship God in all every area of your life. Honor God and He will honor you. Do what He tells you. Go where He sends you. Speak what He tells you to speak. Because where He assigns you is where He's going to be. And when you're in the place that God puts you, He will be there. He will meet you. He will provide for you there. It's very important that we understand where we are supposed to be. Would you agree?
Yeah.
What is the will of God for me? We have people that are... There's a lot of people missing today. They're still with us. They haven't ran off. But we've had some people come and some people go. But you know, God moves people around for different reasons. Because God is a God of strategy. He knows what they may need in their life, or where somebody, what other fellowship might need them right now. We have a couple, Bob and Penny. He took this fast very seriously, and he joined with us in this 40-day fast, and he prayed for his daughter that she would be saved. Midway through the fast, guess what? She got saved. Okay, yeah. But she wanted to go to the Baptist church. We may be a little bit too radical for him, I don't know. Who, me, radical? But you know what? If that's where she's going to flourish, if that's what God wants for her, they decided, they prayed about it, and God spoke to them. They love us, but they know that right now in this season in their life, they need to be supportive, not only of her, but also other family members. It's like a chain reaction, are coming in right now too. And they're going to be more comfortable in the Baptist situation. Okay? So we bless them. They're in the will of God. We say, be blessed and prosper in the Lord for the glory of His kingdom, because it's not about our own little thing. It's about His kingdom. They're lovely people. We love them dearly. I'm a little heartsick, because they've been with us for so long. However, we have to be willing, amen, to be obedient to what God tells us to do and trust Him. God will make a way. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to put the church together the way He wants it, it will be strong, it will stand. But if we try to manipulate it to grow the way we think it should go, amen, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, right? But we put our trust in the Lord, and blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And the Lord will build His house, His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to let Him, amen, lead. The problem is we have program-driven churches all over, and they may do good for a while, and they may even survive a long time, but they're going to be void of the substance of the reality, which is Christ. So we don't want to be a program-driven, we want to be a Spirit-led fellowship. And we want to be very careful not to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remain teachable. Teachable. So if the Lord is saying, I want you to make a change, I know you're used to doing it this way, I know you've been comfortable with this way, but I want you to change this. Are we willing, are we pliable enough to say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but why would you want me to shave half of my head off? You know, I don't have money. But if that's what you want, that's what we're going to do. Ezekiel was obedient. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to obey the Lord in whatever He tells us to do. And I am so thrilled because of the chemistry of people here and the openness and the hungry hearts that come together in this church. I mean, it's been just awesome. Wednesday night, awesome. Last Sunday night, awesome. Am I right? Isn't it just wonderful, the glory of God's presence? God is smiling on this work right here. And we have a different assignment than someone else. We just need to be faithful to our assignment. Would you agree? And not become proud or conceited and think we're more spiritual than everybody else. Because the only reason God blesses us is to make us spiritual, right? Because we can't make it without Him. Because we aren't going to make it without Him. And so whatever happens in our lives is really good for us if you love Jesus. It's going to work together for your good. Yeah. Well, that wasn't my message. That was the introduction. But turn to, in your Bibles, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. But that's what the Lord is saying. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1 through 21. I want to briefly just go over this. We talked about this Wednesday night, about King Uzziah. And anybody 16 years old in here? Okay. Him? You have not aged well, brother. So we have Caleb. This is a message for you then, 16.
The 26th one?
Chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. Page 674. No, don't go there. chapter 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. Now, Caleb, would you like to be a king? Wouldn't that be cool? And I don't want to read all of this, but I want you to look at verse 5. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Is God a respecter of persons? Do you believe that God will do the same for you? How many believe that it's important, though, that we continue to seek the Lord? Yes. And we read on here, God gave Uzziah, he gave him victory over his enemies. What does that say to us today? That means that he rebuked the devil, amen, out of his life because he was a worshiper. God also exalted him. He gave him charisma. He made him famous. He became very strong. And in verse 16, though, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. He became proud. To his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. In other words, when a person gets proud in heart and they begin to, in a sense, backslide, then we begin to treat the things of God very commonly. We lose reverence. We lose respect for the things of God. Now, I hear people talk about respecting the sanctuary when we come in. And I do believe that we need to have some kind of order in here. I don't know what that looks like yet, but we need to have some kind of order. Different churches have different personalities. Would you agree? Yeah. It's just different personalities of church. But what we really need to think about is when people say respecting the sanctuary, is shift that away from the sanctuary to his presence. What we need to do is we need to honor and to respect the presence of the Lord wherever we are. Because we are all individually, amen, part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is a worshiper individually first, and then corporately when we come together. And so we are to honor and to respect God's presence. And that's why when the Spirit of the Lord is moving among us, we need to be respectful of Him. Amen? And we need to pay attention to what God is doing. Because the enemy wants to distract us away from what God is doing. And he wants us to tune out and to be somewhere else. Because when we honor God and we come before him, the best way to respect him, would you agree, is to listen to what he's saying to you. How disrespectful it is when people are talking to us and we don't respect that. And instead of listening, we're already gearing up to reply before they finish speaking. Now, of course, I'm the only one that's ever done that. But it's not really communicating. It's not really listening to someone when we are constantly waiting just to get our opinion out there. And we're not really even giving them the time of day. How many have ever communicated to somebody or tried to? Where they're not really hearing you. You're talking to them, but they're not listening because they're just so full of what they have to say to you that they're not even giving you the time of day. They're not really respecting what you have to say. And you know, if we don't respect what people have to say, guess what? Often they're not going to respect what you have to say either. Am I right? So, I don't know why I talked about that, except that it's about reverencing, honoring the presence of the Lord, recognizing that He's here, and paying attention to what God is saying, what He's speaking. We need to have discernment as to what the Spirit of God is doing when we get together. Would you agree? We want to know what God is doing. Every time it's a little differently. God moves in mysterious ways. But we need to be open to what He's doing. And you begin to hear His voice more clearly when you are a worshiper. Am I right? When we pursue the Lord, when we worship the Lord, when our life is worship to God, then there is a hearing of His voice. My sheep hear My voice, Jesus said. And how is it? Because they follow Him. Followers of Jesus, pursuers of Jesus, are the people who can hear from the Lord. And would you agree that it's important that we hear His voice? Because Elijah had to hear the voice of the Lord to be in his assignment. Go to the brook Cherith, amen? And it is there that I will provide for you. I will feed you there. He had to hear the voice of the Lord so he could get his instruction from the Lord to be where he was supposed to be and to do what God told him to do there. And sometimes God's not telling you to do much there. He's just telling you to be there. And I will show up there. And I will do it. But we need to be there, amen, where He tells us. And if we're there, God will show up. Why? Because Jesus said, where I am, there My servant will be also. I have decided to follow Jesus. Why? Because He knows where the good spots are. I mean, He takes us to green pastures beside still waters. He restores, amen? He refreshes our soul. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup runs over. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's a good God. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our lives. And David said something, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. And that's why the Psalms are full of prophetic message, amen? Because God downloaded into David. Because his heart was set on pursuit of Him. His life goal was to know God. Paul's life goal was to know God. And when you know God and you know His voice, then you're able to hear clearly the direction or the instruction of the Lord. And when we obey the instruction of the Lord, God will be there in the place of your assignment. And so God dries the brook up, remember, because He had to move him on. And He sent him to this widow woman, amen, at Zarephath. And she also provided for him out of her lack. God supernaturally blessed what little she had because she offered it as really worship unto the Lord, because she said to the Lord your God. She knew He was a man of God. She recognized the anointing, gave to the man of God, and as a result, the blessing came upon her as well. But he was in the assignment that God called him to. And if we do not pay attention, if we do not listen, if we are not worshipers, folks, then you're going to miss the voice of the shepherd. And then we're going to flounder through life wondering, well, I wonder if that was the will of God. No, that wasn't the will of God. Well, what if this is the will of God? That's not the will of God. And finally, we're old and we're gray and we're saying, well, I wonder what the will of God was for my life. Well, God must have a reason for me to be here because I'm still around. I've heard 90-year-olds say that. And I sometimes it may be at the midnight hour when God's going to show up and do something special in your life. So don't think that I'm too old to do anything for God. Man, we've seen 90-year-old... Where's my wife at? Hey, Sue. Man named Earl Waterman at the facility we're at, back east. Man of prayer, man of God. In his 90s, still a fiery preacher, you know. He'd get up and he would share Jesus unashamedly. And, you know, that's the way to live. Amen? Maximize the moments God gives you. Live every day to its fullest. Live it for Jesus. Be on assignment with God. And wherever you are supposed to be, God's provision will be there. And you're not going to know where that place is unless you really get a hold of this and you worship the Lord with your whole life. I don't want to get redundant about this, but you know, so often when we talk about the worship service, we say the worship service. We've reduced it to a moment of time that we get together on Sunday morning, you know. And often even we were starting to put in the bulletin worship practice. You don't practice worship. Somebody pointed out, I said, yeah, it's music practice. We worship God in all that we do. And some people think that just singing to God is worship. That's part of it. That is part of it. Would you agree? But what about giving praise? What about giving thanks to the Lord? Amen? How about giving unto God? How about interceding for other people? Praying on behalf of others. God accepts that as worship. God is pleased with worship. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? It says, your prayers and your alms have come up before God as a memorial. Amen? God was pleased because he saw the heart of Cornelius, that he was a man that pursued God. And he knew that he was pursuing him because of the way that he lived his life. You can tell what a person values by what they spend their time doing. You can tell what a person treasures by what they spend their money on. Huh? There's some Christians that got all kinds of toys, but they're very weak in giving to God and giving to his purposes. And I'm not talking about tithing today, okay? But isn't it true that you're really losing out on something better? When you just spend yourself and your resources on temporary things, but you're not rich towards God. I want to be rich towards God. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. I could care less if I'm ever rich in this world. I just want to be rich with God because it's eternal. Would you agree? But Jesus promised that if you take care of God's things, if you put him first, he'll take care of that too. Amen? He'll provide for you supernaturally, just like he did with Elijah. Now, when we worship, I want you to hear this. Are you okay? We get beyond ourselves. The goal in worship is to get beyond me, get beyond ourselves. We're so full of ourselves sometimes that even when we come together corporately, you know, we're so self-conscious and so what people are thinking about. We got to get, hey, I struggle with that like everybody else, believe it. There's times when I just have to do something a little on the radical side just to bust myself away from that. Get the focus off me. And when I minister to you, I'm not looking at me. I'm not thinking, now, boy, did that sound eloquent. Now, was that the one? I'm just allowing God to work through me and to love on you today, you see? And when we face away from ourselves, turn away from ourselves, that's repentance. Turning away from me, amen? And I'm turning to Christ. But when we minister, it can't be going two ways. You understand that? It can't be about me and you. It's got to be about you now. I'm loving on you now. Amen? Turn away. And that's the agape love that God releases through us, is when we choose to love on someone, when we choose some, you know, and we love on that person, we allow God's life to flow towards that person. It's agape love that gets released. Because agape love is unselfish love. Agape love is a self-sacrificing love. And agape love is not consumed about how I look or what people think about me. Jesus didn't care. Amen. He cared that the Father was pleased. He cared that he was listening to his Father's direction. He was tuning his voice and doing what he told him to do. Jesus was always on assignment. He was always in the place that his Father told him to be. And he spoke the things that his Father told him to speak. We are to do the same thing. And we can't do that unless we learn what it is to really walk our lives out in a state of worship to God. And all that I do, I'm to give glory to God. Have I arrived at that? No. Well, But I want to. Anybody here with me? You want to do the same thing? You want your life to honor God? Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. Do you know that we can praise our way into God's glory, into His presence? Yes, I know that we are in Christ. But something happens when we set our hearts as believers in Christ to draw near to Him, to draw near to God. When we worship, when we offer thanks, when we offer praise, we are seeding the cloud. When we seed the cloud, it begins to get full. Amen? And if you seed it enough, I want you to hear this. This is very important. Because sometimes we're not doing this. We're not seeding the cloud enough. We're not spending enough time. We haven't worshipped high enough, in other words. If we don't worship high enough, then it's only going to be to the level that we invest and that we give into it. So if we're in a hurry and we got, you know, I've got 15 minutes to do the sermonette and then I go home and pig out on roast, you know. What we want to do is we want to have, amen, the smorgasbord in heaven set before us, amen. And we want to eat of Him and drink of Him. We want to be filled with Him. We want to put on Jesus Christ because He's the one that truly satisfies. It's okay to eat your roast, but it may get cold. No? That's why people are like, I didn't go back to that place in a 3-hour service. But you know, we don't have to necessarily meet for 3 hours. Would you agree? Sometimes God shows up and just a boom like that. But there's times, folks, when we need to come together and we need what's called a breakthrough. You know? Sometimes it feels like we're just walking among the frozen chosen. It's not necessarily... It's not that we are frozen chosen. It's the enemy sometimes is an oppressor, right? And so we got to break it off us. We got to get it off us. And we do that by praise. You can praise your way out of depression into the glory of God's presence. And in the glory of His presence, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's liberty, there's joy unspeakable. In His presence, there is peace. In His presence are the things, the delights that this world cannot give us. They're beyond this world. It's heavenly, it's supernatural, amen? Wow, there's no joy like the joy of God. So don't waste your time pursuing joy in just the things of this life, because they don't truly satisfy you. How many have discovered that now? Yeah. And if you're wise and you're a young person here today, don't follow the same mistakes that you've seen older people make. Hello. A wise person learns from the mistakes of others and say, if their life is that messed up, I don't want to go there. Amen. Are you with me? I want to pursue Jesus because He is life. And He's the answer for the world. The world is looking for heaven. They don't know where to look. That's what it is. We want heaven. And if you want heaven, you've got to have heaven in your heart. And heaven is Jesus. A relationship with Jesus. Seed the clouds. Seed the clouds. Amen? Praise. Pray. Thank. Give. Sow. Given it shall be given unto you. It gets God's attention. Whenever you sacrifice for the things of God, some people, they just can't make any sacrifices. Why? Because they got their eyes not on Jesus, but on themselves and what they can get out of everything. Listen, if you take care of God's things, God will make sure you have pleasure. He'll make sure you feel good. Make God feel good and you will feel good. I guarantee you. I know that was simple, but that was profound. Make God feel good, and you will feel good. He delights when we love others. Would you agree? He delights when we love people, made in His image. He delights when we give of ourselves for others. Yeah. He delights when we're thankful. He delights when we praise. All these things are worship to God, singing unto the Lord. Solomon finishes the temple here in chapter 5 of 2 Chronicles. In verse 6, Solomon offers sacrifices. Notice, first thing he does is he finishes the temple, right? And then in verse 6, what is he doing? He's offering sacrifices. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to get on the right page here. All right. Verse 6, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were what? Sacrificing. God is in the sacrifice, by the way. From the very beginning. Eh? Cain and Abel. If you want to go back even further, God. Amen. The first sacrifice. To put a covering over the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Because they tried to cover their own sin, remember? It wasn't good enough. We need God to cover us. And here, Solomon offers sacrifices. Sacrifices get God's attention, folks. Then, verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping the divisions. What's going on? The priests first came out of the holy place. In other words, they worship privately first. First the priests worship privately, then they came out. And verse 13, the singers, in fact, let's go to verse 12, and the Levites who were with the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. I don't like all that noise. And with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Man, there's a lot of noise going on. They were noisier than we were, I'm sure. Maybe a little bit more refined too, but indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, what were they? They were as one, tuned to the same right standard, Jesus, to make one sound to be heard, what? One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. What happened? That the house of the Lord, amen, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. What were they doing? They were seeding the cloud. Amen? They were offering thanksgiving and praise and lifting up a shout to God of triumph. Amen? They were rejoicing in the Lord and in the joy, amen, of their expressions of gratitude to God and praise. God was pleased. And when God is pleased, He shows up. He accepted their worship, showed up the glory of the Lord, the cloud of His glory. It was actually a visible cloud. Sometimes you can actually see God's glory. How many want to see that here? Because of their worship. How important it is that we are worshipers, not just on Sunday morning, but as the priests, amen, were privately in worship. And then they came together and they joined together and they worshiped God. Amen? Then the glory of God filled the house. So much so that they were inebriated. They couldn't even continue to minister. How many like to be intoxicated in the love of God? You see, you're going to get high on something in life. The best thing to get high on is Jesus. Because I'll tell you, the high the world gives is full of death. Amen? You want to get high, people do it. They do it from thrill sports, you know, all kinds of different. It's not always just necessarily sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But people are looking to get high some way. And because why? We're looking for heaven again. We're looking for heaven. I said this so many times, but I can't help but think about that country western song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on. That's what the world is doing, and they're not thinking about God as being love. They're just thinking about their girlfriend. So what happens here? The glory of the Lord fills the house. There's so much here, but I'm going to skip over this. And some of it, if you can come tonight, I'm going to finish some of this, okay? 6 o'clock, we'll be here tonight. But I want you to turn your Bibles. I want to just touch on this tonight. And I've been here before, but I want to read to you, first of all, from Ecclesiastes, if you turn there, chapter 11. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. What I want us to get and hear this morning is you and I, you and I, and every one of you is important. You're important to us. You're important to God. We can build the cloud together. We are actually a part. I want you to hear this. You are a part of building the cloud. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something that we take a part in through worship. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, we are building the cloud together. That's why it's glorious when people are building privately the cloud, amen, of His glory in their own lives. They're full of God's glory. And then when we come together corporately, man, it's just explosive. Hallelujah. Give, I want you to hear before, you may not, if you don't have this translation, just listen to it and then, because it may throw you a little bit, but listen how it's worded here. I think it was well interpreted. Give generously, for your gifts will return to you later. King James says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days you will find it. And then it says, verse 2, divide your gifts among many, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. When the clouds are heavy, the rains come down. When a tree falls, whether south or north, there it lies. If you wait, listen, for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Now, in context here, it's talking about giving. Would you agree? Give generously, for your gifts will return to you later. Divide your gifts among many, diversify in your giving, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. A wise investor will tell you in the world, amen, not to put all your eggs in one basket. You know, don't have all your money in one account, but diversify. Because if this bank happens to fold, amen, you've got assets somewhere else. And the way it is nowadays, you might as well stuff it under the mattress. And even then, paper money's going away. But we need to diversify in the Spirit. In other words, we need to be sowing. Amen? And we need to be sowing liberally, because a liberal soul shall be made fat. God blesses the liberal soul, the one who gives. Amen? I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving of your life. Sowing what you receive from God into others. Now, when the clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Huh. Revelation, right? Do you see it? In the context of giving here, of speaking about giving, he says that when the clouds are full, they give rain. What does that imply? That implies that when you and I are worshipers, when you and I are sowing, when we are praising and worshiping and honoring God, not only with the fruit of our lips, but with our lives, the way that we live, and walking with the Lord carefully, when we are worshipers of God, it's sowing, if you will, into the cloud. And the time comes when that will come up before the Lord, and He will take note of a person whose heart is loyal to Him, in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not. When it's comfortable, when it's not. But they're consistent. They are faithful to Him. And they continue to sow and to give and to work. Amen. Even if you're not seeing fruit in your ministry, you keep on sowing. You keep on watering. You keep on believing. You keep on praying. And the day will come when it will come up before God as a memorial. Will be full of the rain of God's blessing and favor, and He will release that. Are you hearing this? We've got to get a hold of this worship thing. When we come, we need to be people sowing. Amen? The clouds, sowing into the clouds, seeding the clouds, praising God, offering to Him thanksgiving, singing to the Lord. And when you're doing that, and we're doing it together, and we have worship privately, and we came together, and now we're corporately, this is a sweet fragrance before the throne of God. It ascends before His throne. And God, what is that? That's New Horizons. Hallelujah. Lightning bolt. Let them have it. Double blessing. Amen. Let's not forget what we've heard today. Are you hearing me? Please. We need to pray. I'm so thankful people are starting to pray again. Amen. We're coming in and we're preparing ourselves. It doesn't necessarily have to come down here. But when we come in, it's coming with an attitude of expectation that God is going to show up. That God is going to visit us. And He will if we will offer praise to Him. Because I heard a testimony of a man who said he went to heaven. Now, some people don't believe in those things, but I happen to believe it. I know heaven's a real place. Call me gullible, but I believe in heaven. So did Jesus, come to think of it. But he said, in heaven, he said, the praises and the prayers of people, you know, actually as incense, you know, comes before God. But it says that, what do you do when you have incense burning? You actually smell, you inhale incense. You inhale it, you can smell it. If you can smell it, you're inhaling it. And he said, God actually inhales praise and exhales. Exhales His presence. And that's what we want. That's what it's all about. Amen. I don't want to play church anymore. I want Him. I want God to show up every time. He's so faithful. But folks, if we will give more, if we will worship more, if we will worship higher, are you hearing me? Higher, with more passion, then God's going to pour out more glory. And in His glory, there's coming a day, folks, that people just walk through this door, they're going to be healed. Nobody's going to have to touch them. Shoot, we've already had that happening. But I'm anticipating a greater glory because there's going to be a greater worship from the heart, amen, and from the life. So we're not getting ourselves entangled with the world and polluted by the junk of this world and then bringing that junk in here, amen. But we're keeping ourselves from that junk. We're shutting ourselves in, and we are building ourselves up. We're filling up the cloud, amen, with praise and thanksgiving. Almost done, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:19. We've heard this many times, but I want it one more time. We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. I said that, didn't I? This is talking about being filled, right, with the Holy Spirit. That's the cloud. Israel was led by the cloud, amen, during the day and fire by night. God's presence. And what did God do? He provided for them and He protected them. You want the devil out of your life? Be a worshiper. in all areas of your life, because that way he has no place to get in. It's what we allow for him usually. Amen? We break the hedge, he'll get in and he'll bite you. So we got to protect ourselves. Every area of my life should be worship to God, honoring to God. And what does it say here? It says singing, right? To the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says in verse 20, in conjunction with speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What? Giving thanks always. Because when you're thankful, you will worship. You will praise. Praise brings the glory of God. In His presence there is fullness of joy. Joy is a sign, is it not, of His presence. Now, worship in the Spirit. Not just singing songs like some, you'll get together and have a nice little choir sing along, blah, 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 looking at Joe and Sally and, you know. No, that's not worship. Worship is from the heart. Worship is focused. We're focusing on Christ Himself. We are seeking the very face of God. When you do that and you shut yourself in, you honor God by paying attention to Him. And when we do that, we're going to be seeding the cloud, amen, with praise. We offer God, inhales the praise, and He exhales His presence. And wherever His presence is, it's just awesome. So, when we sing a new song, these are spiritual songs. Sometimes we may have an old song, or if we're doing a lot of new stuff, is a new sound. But we may just decide to go on a little journey with it. You ever figure, you know, sometimes we go on little journeys, right? Ask the worship team. They never know what we're doing up here, so. But in the Spirit, there's a sound from heaven is released, and in that there is healing. There is a freshness that comes. And so, even though the old songs were wonderful, in their season, in their time, they were wonderful, they were anointed, it was the sound from heaven. If we just live out of yesterday, sometimes we bring them back in, you know, and we'll sing a little bit like we did this morning even. And it can be just as vibrant and fresh because the Spirit is leading in that. But the problem is we get patterned so quickly as a people to just doing things the way we've always done it. And so, you know, some people think, well, I'm not going to that church. They don't sing any of the old songs. Well, I want you to know that churches by the thousands are closing their doors because all they're doing is singing the old songs. And it's not because they're crowd-pleasing even. Okay? Or it's because, well, sometimes we think we're compromising the anointing by not singing the old songs. Come on. What it is God is a God of freshness. He brings new things in. He does a new thing. Amen? God is never stale. He is always fresh. He was always life. He is life. God is not boring. When you are experiencing Him, you are experiencing pleasure. I mean, beyond this world. Wow. I love Jesus so much. I want Him so much. I want His presence. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. So press in. Maybe you come sometimes, and even if it's a personal thing, you get in your closet, dry, it seems like a stone heaven, not much happening. Keep on thanking Him. Keep on praising Him. Keep on rejoicing in Him anyways. Make a sacrifice of praise. Because God is in the sacrifice. And God will be honored by that. And it's only a matter of time when the Lord will take notice and say, that one there. And then, if you will, the juices begin to flow. And then we start to get into the river. And there's life in the river. It's like, yes, Lord, this is what we wanted. We wanted You. We wanted Your presence. And then everything changes, man. Yeah, your whole perspective changes. Wow. Worshippers. How many worshippers are in here this morning? Worship with your whole life, and you will get God's attention. When you get God's attention, He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will bless your life. Yeah. So we want that. We're going to be here tonight at 6. We're going to press into God tonight. If you can make it, come. It's not. We don't want anybody to be under a guilt trip. Okay? But we do want you to listen to what God tells you to do. So don't be afraid to ask Him. What do He have you to do? Sometimes we don't ask Him because we're afraid He may tell us, well, I don't want you to stay home tonight. And of course the devil will be there to say, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you just stay home tonight? Yeah, and watch TV. Yeah. Family night, right? Eating popcorn and watching the soap opera or something. We're going to have prayer afterwards. I'm going to let you come up afterwards if you need prayer for anything. But we got to move on here. But we're going to be here at 6 tonight.